in Portland. You can mail back your ballot or bring it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Ballots must be postmarked by September 10th or cast at the annual meeting by 2:40 p.m. to count. Get informed, get involved, and vote. Thanks.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Ava Lake interviews Merrillhurst Art Gym curator Terry Hopkins, who will retire in January after 33 years directing the gallery. Up next, Stage and Studio focuses on the time-based art festival. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Raven's Flight Creative, presenting an evening with Molly Ringwald, performing jazz and speaking on her life experiences, 7 p.m. Friday, September 27th at the Newmark Theater in Portland. The performance will be followed by a meet and greet, and tickets and information are available at ravensflightcreative.com, and by the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're featuring PICA's TBA Festival 13 today. We'll have festival highlights from artistic director Angela Maddox, and dancer Linda Austin tells us about Three Trick Pony. We'll also hear from Ron Blessinger of Third Angle Music, plus a ticket giveaway. But first, here's the band Julie Ruin, featured at TBA 13. This is Stage and Studio. And that was Julie Ruin, who's featured at PICA's TBA 13 Festival. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. Here with me are Artistic Director Angela Maddox of PICA and TBA. Good morning.
Good morning.
And dancer and choreographer extraordinaire Linda Austin, who's debuting. Hello. You're debuting Three Trick Pony on the weekend of September 15th. So welcome back to both of you on Stage and Studio. It's good to have you here. So, Angela, do you usually have bands like Julie Ruin?
Absolutely.
I thought it was sort of a breath of fresh air there to hear her music.
Yeah.
Or their music.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we always, you know, bring in really fresh voices, and we like that kind of, you know, youthful energy. And, you know, Kathleen Hanna is just a legend in the Riot Girl scene. It's an honor to have her actually just, you know, launch our festival. Opening night for us is always really special.
That's opening night.
It's opening night.
Oh, that'll
night,
be a party,
and
won't
it's
it?
Free.
Oh, totally.
September 12th.
Wow.
You know, and we always want to kind of kick off the festival with that kind of energy, just like really, you know, provocative, fun. It's all ages and free. And we thought it would be a great way to launch the festival this year.
It sounds like a great way. TBA 13, it's bigger than ever, and it runs September 12th through the 22nd at all venues all over Portland. And there are international and regional artists in visual arts, media, music, dance, and theater. Now I'm going to ask you a hard, tough question here. Mm-hmm. How many artists do you think, or artist groups on estimation, do you think is featured in TBA 13?
Right. It is a hard question because, you know, with every project, you know, there's multiple artists that contribute. But I would say there's probably about 40 projects this year at TBA.
Wow. That is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to do for a 10-day festival.
It is. But, you know, it's one of these things where TBA is immersive, and we wanted to provide, you know, audiences a lot of different opportunities to see, you know, artists working in a lot of different kinds of forms and bring in a lot of different kinds of, you know, aesthetics and points of view. So otherwise it wouldn't be a festival.
Well, you take all year to do it, too.
We do.
All year to curate and plan this huge festival. And so you probably, do you start the ground running as soon as this festival is over?
Well, in fact,
You're already doing it.
I'm doing it.
I see all your notes there. You've probably been trying to chart next year already.
I am. It's so true. You know, my team is, I have an amazing team at PICA. I just really want to give a shout out to them, an amazing staff, and they're hard at work for our opening this week. Right now, I'm actually really deep in research mode thinking about the 2014 edition already. So indeed, it's a really long process in terms of researching, traveling, developing new works. You know, because again, TBA is a place for, you know, local commissions, you know, but also work from around the country. And, you know, one of the things I'm most passionate about is it's really bringing in global work to Portland. So that means it takes a long time to research, you know, some of these bold and visionary artists working in countries outside here.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are TBA Festival's Artistic Director Angela Maddox and dancer choreographer Linda Austin. And I've outlined all the performances and works featured in TBA 13, or a good portion of them, at stageandstudio.org. You can also visit pica.org for more info as you listen to this. Now, I want to hear more about the festival highlights, but I also, you mentioned all these international groups, but let's showcase some of the Portland artists who are also debuting new work at TBA 13, because I think that's a good mix to have international, national, and to focus on Portland's great art as well and their great artists. So Linda Austin and Performance Works Northwest, I mean, you're a longtime artist and innovator here in the dance community in Portland, and you're debuting Three Trick Pony. Mm-hmm. So what does that name represent to you?
Well, it came from, well, the structure of the piece has three parts, and so then it, and yeah. So, and it was just kind of a fun thing to think of, like, each part as being like a trick. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like fake tricks, maybe. Fake tricks. I don't know. There's the piece involves, it's a collaboration with myself and sculptor David Eckert and composer Doug Terrio. So that's another thing that is the number three comes up that way too, and then it's a play on words from that one trick pony thing. Like I'm
not
just
three parts to the, there's an installation, and then you've got this sound sculpture too happening at the same time, and you're pretty much interacting with both of those elements, aren't you?
As your dance piece. Yeah. In fact, this is the making of this piece is like the reverse of how I usually work, where the dance comes first and the other elements get layered in, because I couldn't really start working. I mean, we had concepts that I gave to David about what kinds of objects to make, but I didn't really know what they were going to be like. And then I couldn't really start working on the choreography until I had the objects. So it's kind
and
of
And this
reverse.
Is an experiment for you then, because it's not your process generally.
It's
described as an intimate face-off between you and the installation and the sound of your collaborators. Face-off. So now you've been in the festival quite a bit. Have you been in TBA Festival before, Linda?
Yeah, well, I've done.
I thought you have.
Part of that Third Angle Collaboration City Dance.
That's right.
Back in 2008.
Seems like a long time ago.
And I also did a Deborah Hay solo a few years before that, when Deborah Hay was here.
Well, what does the festival offer you as a Portland performer, artist? What does it mean to be to have your work included in this massive festival?
Well, in general, even when I'm not
with Angela staring at you right now.
Even when I'm not performing, it's a way of like feeling like, oh, Portland is part of the national and international conversation. And since I lived for so many years in New York, it's always like a homecoming of seeing old friends and being with them, and then having our work on the same table as those other artists that are maybe more well known or whatever. It gives a conversation. It raises the bar and makes you work harder, and it feels really good.
And it gives you a sense of international community,
at
the same time. If you want to see Linda Austin's Three Trick Pony, it's happening September 15th at 4:30 p.m., the 16th and 18th at 6:30 p.m. All shows are at the Conway Black Box. That's located at 2170 Northwest Raleigh in Portland. And for tickets, visit pica.org. What is the Conway Black Box? I haven't heard of that space. Is that a new space, Angela?
It is a new space. And so, you know, for audiences who know TBA and PICA, one of the things that we love to do, and it's really important to us, is to go into really unexpected kinds of spaces. you know, and transform them. So many audiences remember that we were Washington High School for many years. We'd like to go into these unusual spaces, rethink them, reimagine them. So this year, we have a brand new space, which we're calling our Festival Hub. It's at Conway. And this is a massive, massive warehouse in Industrial Northwest. This is going to be kind of a multi-purpose space. We've completely transformed it. We've built a black box theater, and that's where Linda's piece will be.
Yay!
It's beautiful. Fantastic.
You've built this theater.
Our team built a theater.
Is it going to continue to be a theater after
No.
this?
You know, this is No. one of the kind of poetic things about the work that we do is No. that we build these things for this really, this 10-day period. So we have a 250-seat theater that is in the warehouse, but the warehouse is also our late-night hub, where we have, you know, a restaurant, beer garden, bars, a club stage.
So it's a pop-up
stage,
theater.
Pop-up, you know, club space, yeah. theater and restaurant
pop-up
and bars.
Pop-up cultural center.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, did you do a video of this? Because I'd really like to see a video of how you create a multi-purpose cultural center in a short amount of time like that.
Like time-lapse style?
Yeah, there you go. There
yeah,
you go.
We do have some video and some images online. But it indeed is, it's one of the things that we're most proud of in terms of how do we, you know, really rethink, you know, where work is at and also getting audiences to places that they aren't usually, you know, attending. So I can't wait to invite people into this new space.
Well, that's exciting. You know, you said that you've changed the way TBA is with the venues and sort of a central hub. Can you explain that?
Sure. Well, and just, you know, basically, you know, Conway is, you know, a space that is brand new for us and it will just be for this festival alone. So this is the one chance for local audiences to see the space transform. We are at some venues that people will recognize, you know, like the Winningstad Theater or Imago Theater. We have visual art in various locations this year, from PNCA to our home at Pica. You know, for people who don't know, we actually have a really beautiful kind of open plan loft space at 415 Southwest 10th Street, which is also where our pop-up box office is. And this is a beautiful space that we have for audiences who haven't visited us. You can visit, we have a visual art exhibition currently up by Anna Craycroft, New York visual artist. We'll also be housing our daily chats at 12:30 every single day at Pica, where we, you know, it's a great chance to hear artists, you know, in conversation with colleagues. So we have multiple spaces. The difference is, you know, people go to Pica Home, and Conway is our new late-night festival hub.
And those chats are all free then at 12:30?
12:30 chats are all free.
Starting September 12th.
The 13th is the first one.
Oh, the 13th. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's quite important to Portlanders to be able to see all these international, national, and local artists. I mean, you know, it's really interesting to me because, you know, a thought occurred to me that you would have to spend a lot of money to travel the world to see these artists, you know, and here you bring them all here, you know, into Portland. And when I posted on Facebook, on Stage and Studios Facebook page, the followers have been really excited about several artists, and one of them is New York-based dance and music artist Miguel Gutierrez. So what will he be performing?
Sure. Well, Miguel Gutierrez is, I think, kind of a local favorite at this point. This is the third presentation of Miguel's. You know, last year I brought him in for a solo, and, you know, I made it pretty public that I wanted a two-year relationship with Miguel because I think he's really one of our leading artists in this country. Last year we did a really poetic, kind of irreverent solo. This year is quite a contrast. The piece that we're presenting is a large-scale ensemble dance piece. It's called And Lose the Name of Action. And this is radically different work. And one of the things I love to do is, you know, invest in artists who I think are really extraordinary. And Miguel is one of those really special, extraordinary artists. But their pieces can look really, really different. So this piece is sublime. It's you know, it's a piece with multiple performers who are all just legendary choreographers in their own right from New York. So it's an amazing opportunity for audiences to see these kind of intergenerational cast. And it's kind of a play on almost a seance. It's a play on relationships between family, but it's totally abstract dance, but it's poetic and sublime. And for those that love Miguel, this is a must-see performance.
Well, who would you want to highlight that perhaps Portlanders have not heard of. And and Linda, you can put in your highlights too.
Well, I'm really excited about seeing Karen Sherman's work, who's also working with objects. And she's also a friend of mine for many, many years that I haven't seen in a while. So it'll be great to see her as a person and see her work.
And what does she do?
Well, it's called One with Others. It's a group dance. And I don't know too much about it, except she's using objects as, you know, as she describes it, as prosthetics, and they're more homemade looking objects. And she also has she's a stage manager, technical theater person. So I think she's bringing that world a little bit into her dance. And I think there's text, and I'm just really excited about catching up with her. And we will be talking together at one of the chats.
Which day is that?
Saturday, the 21st.
And who else would you like to highlight, Angela, that, you know, we haven't heard of maybe as much?
Well, I mean, briefly, you know, one of the things that I'm most excited about is I'm doing a bit of a focus on North Africa this year. And, you know, these are artists who are rarely in the country, who people will not recognize their names, but I don't want them to go under the radar. One is Moroccan artist Bouchra Ouzguen, who's working with these traditional Aïta singers, and it's going to be at the Imago Theater. She's one of my highlights. Another is an Algerian choreographer, currently now based in France, whose name is Nasra Balaza. Both of these two choreographers, I think, really create these extraordinary rituals. And in particular, with Nasra Balaza's work, and that's also at Conway Space that we were just talking about, Nasra creates these amazing hypnotic meditative pieces. And just like, you know, as we opened the show today with, you know, the raucous The Julie Ruin, I also wanted to provide opportunities in the festival that are like more quiet, you know, because sometimes you need moments in this immersive festival to really kind of be in an altered space. This work is very trance-like, very hypnotic, very meditative. So I was thinking about just different kinds of modes of being, you know, to contrast some of the other work. But again, these are artists that are completely new to Portland. And I think those would be really interesting cultural insights for our audiences. So those are a couple highlights.
And I think that's fascinating, though. Why did you want to focus on North Africa?
Great question. Well, of course, there's the broader kind of idea that, yes, I want to have global work, but the world is massive, right? So I think really carefully about, you know, who we're giving the stage to, quite literally. PICA is newly a part of a network now that's made up of, you know, many partners in the country, as well as African partners, who are dedicated to bringing in contemporary work from Africa. So I'm not sure if people remember from last year, but I had work from Democratic Republic of Congo, Côte d'Ivoire, and audiences can expect future years to also feature work from the continent. So I do have a specific, you know, focus not only, you know, internationally, but that is a region that this work cannot come in without partnerships and support and deep contextualization. So it's part of a larger vision of mine to have, you know, work from this region.
What other regions do you think that you want to highlight that perhaps we haven't really had much interaction or, you know, seen much art from?
You know, Latin America is also a priority area for me. Actually, one of my top picks this year is an amazing theater piece by an Argentinian theater director. Her name's Lola Arias, and she is just an extraordinary young theater director from Argentina, and she's working with a whole Chilean cast. We're bringing in 16 people from South America for this project. It's really probably our most epic piece to date, and it's a beautiful piece, very personal. Each of the actors on stage reveal their true personal stories about their families in Chile. They talk about their parents and their lives during the dictatorship under Pinochet. So it's a way to kind of understand, you know, this history that Portlanders may or may not know. At the same time, Lola is an amazingly artful director, and has beautiful music. It's, you know, it's youthful and exciting, but it's deeply personal as well about, you know, where people come from and their family stories, which I think are really universal.
That sounds amazing. I mean, it just totally sounds amazing. So you bring in, I mean, I guess I can understand why it was hard for you to think about how many artists, because when you start looking at ensembles, you got 16 people right there.
Exactly.
So, wow. So, you know, that's incredible. So, Linda, you have any others that you would like to highlight?
I am totally excited about the North African artists. I haven't heard of them, and so I'm really excited about that. I can't remember unless
that's
I see
okay.
You.
I'm sure Angela has
Third Angle's sitting in the dark
well,
listening
going,
to Third Angle music.
Well, we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about Ron Blessinger in the
you
dark.
Know, one really kind of smaller piece that people might not be noticing. Yes, you know, Bob Bevy is another local dance project. That's another commission that I would highly recommend on opening weekend. But the show that I was going to mention is a piece that kind of closes the festival in a really intimate, poetic way. And it's a Croatian artist. Her name is Ivana Mueller, who's living in France
I
now.
I read about that. That is so fascinating.
Pika brought her
many years ago with a very different work. Yeah. Again, artists are always doing really innovative things.
Is she actually coming, though?
She is not.
So this is interesting to me.
Right. I love artists that really just change up notions of what can theater and performance even be. So her piece is a piece where there are no performers. It's an intimate piece for up to about 50 audience members, and the audience members have scripts. And really, the whole idea of the piece is that the audience members read through their parts in these scripts. So there are no performers.
Is
the
it
audience,
blocked or choreographed, or is it
it's
directed?
It's very specific, but it's all on the page.
So they have to pay attention to what they're reading,
absolutely.
And then they'll read a certain thing at a certain time.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's really a reflection on the role of theater in society. And again...
So the audience is the play.
The audience is the play. And I thought that would really be a beautiful way to kind of close the festival and really think about this idea and this notion that, you know, the audience is an integral aspect to bringing these projects to fruition.
Well, it certainly is an experiment to all theater goers and theater artists to see how this would potentially work, because I have never heard of anything like this. Pika's TBA 13 runs September 12th through the 22nd in many parts in Portland, but also at the Conway Theater. And for more info and a calendar of events and performances, visit TBA's website at pika.org. And you can also call 503-242-1419. That's 242-1419. I've outlined many of the performances and works featured at the TBA Festival at stageandstudio.org if you want to check it out. And we're offering a pair of tickets to any show except, listen to this, Third Angle and Meow Meow concerts. You can call here at KBOO, and we're going to take the fourth caller. And here's the number, fourth caller, 503-231-5106, 231-5106. Well, it's been great to talk with both of you, Angela Maddox and Linda Austin, and I really appreciate you dropping by today and chatting with us. It's such a massive festival, and I love having the highlights, but really, I see that, you know, there's this huge brochure, so you could really peruse this for several days, couldn't you?
Yes.
Just to see what you might want to see.
Absolutely.
Well, break legs or whatever. Oh, I guess you don't say that in dance. I have to remember that, Linda. But have a great opening, and have a great opening of the festival too, Angela.
Thank you so much for having us.
So another Portland group that's featured in the TBA Festival is Third Angle New Music Ensemble. And I talk with artistic director Ron Blessinger about their concert. It's at OMSI. And I wanted to sort of ask Ron, what is this about? It's called In the Dark. And here's what he said.
Haas's Third String Quartet is a phenomenal piece, and it's been a blast to work on with my colleagues in Third Angle New Music. The piece requires total darkness. It's an exercise in sensory deprivation, at least visually, and the planetarium gives us the perfect environment for what the piece requires. It will be pitch dark in the planetarium. We have figured out a way of blocking the exit signs, but just in case people might have a concern about that, we have systems in place to accommodate people who need help or might need to leave. We hope that people don't, but we recognize that as a possibility, and we have got that covered. The piece by Haas, Haas is an Austrian composer, contemporary composer, and the piece was written just a few years ago. It's four-string quartet, and the subject matter of the piece is the Tenebrae, specifically the last night before the resurrection of Christ. And in the Catholic Church service, what happens at the end of this last service is that all the candles are extinguished, leaving the sanctuary in total darkness. And that's the moment of greatest dislocation from grace and utter darkness. And this is what Haas requires for this piece because that's what the piece is about. And the piece itself musically is really a study in 20th century composition, or 21st century, I should say, compositional techniques. There's such a range of colors, from sound effects, scratching and plucking, and all the things that string quartet or string players shouldn't or rarely trained to do, but it evokes something very primal and very spooky. It's like we're Foley artists on a movie set. And those kind of sounds and sound effects run counter to more melodious moments that have a very ancient feel to them, that use ancient tuning systems, for example, to make it sound like old church organs. So the effect of the piece is one of mystery and spectral images that are floating by and sometimes creeping by us. It's a deeply spiritual piece and necessary to be in pitch darkness. I mean, while this is a theatrical device, and Haas is never shy about using theatrical devices such as this to make his point musically, it nonetheless is very, very effective. And there's the fact that it's in pitch darkness is really, really cool on so many levels, but not the least of which is the fact that we rarely listen to music without being distracted by what we see.
That was Ron Blessinger of Third Angle New Music talking about In the Dark. Shows are Tuesday, September 17th and Wednesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. and Thursday, September 19th at 11:59 p.m. That's a midnight showing. All shows are at the Planetarium at OMSI. That's located at 1945 Southeast Water Avenue in Portland. And for more info, visit pica.org. I also have that link at stageandstudio.org. Before we go today, Northwest Veg presents the 9th Annual Portland Veg Fest. It's happening Saturday, September 21st and Sunday, September 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. This year features a full exhibit hall with hundreds of different veg foods to sample, national speakers including Dr. John McDougall, Scott West of Sea Shepherd Conservation, and cooking demonstrations with Chefs Miyoko Shinner and Chef A. and a lot more speakers and guests. Plus, there's yoga and Tai Chi classes, as well as a lot of kids and family activities. Now, I went to this last year, and I recommend it to anyone who's a vegetarian, vegan, or not. It's a pretty affordable festival full of good food and healthy info. So find out more about the event. Visit portlandvegfest.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to KBOO engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of this show, visit stageandstudio.org. You can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on the facebook.com/stage and the letter N studio page. And you can also tweet me at stage, the letter N studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with some whimsical music by composer Katie Greiser. This is called Sorry. Thank you.
Wednesdays in Portland are a little more festive these days, thanks to Creative Collaborations and Hump Day PDX. Hump Day PDX is a street festival in Southeast Portland, featuring the live music and art exhibits of creative entrepreneurs who are living on the streets. There are also family activities to enjoy, food to eat, and a beer garden for drink, all organized by Creative Collaborations in support of struggling artists and in an effort to stimulate the local neighborhood economy. The next Hump Day PDX is September 11th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Southeast 9th and Belmont in Portland. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Stay tuned for Art Focus with host Ava Lake. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University, where adult students of all ages can earn college credit towards a bachelor's degree for knowledge gained outside the classroom with community service, seminars, and on-the-job training, and more. Listeners can learn more about the information session on Wednesday, September 19th at 6:30 p.m. Details at merrillhurst.edu. And by Oregon College of Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ava Lake, and thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. Today, I have with me Terry Hopkins, who is the curator of the Merrill Hurst Art Gym. And by the way, disclosure and disclaimer that it's so nice that Merrill Hurst is helping with this show, but this interview has nothing to do with that, really. It's just a kind of a fun coincidence. Terry, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So we've got news.